Indeed. Let us get to work here and welcome to Article 5 Live. It's Sunday night. And now coming to you live from the radio bunker somewhere in Arizona, it's time for the best 90 minutes in digital media. Article 5 Live. I'm your host, JD. It's Sunday, October 18th, 2020, only 15 days until the most important election in the history of the universe. Let's get right into it. It's high time we take back our republic from those who mock it by calling it a democracy. Let me tell you, nothing gets me more. I know it's you got to pick your battles kind of carefully with this kind of stuff, and there are nuances involved in calling the United States of America a democracy. But that's just one of the things that really drives me crazy. And everybody does it, including the president, including Ronald Reagan. I mean, it just happens. I don't like it. I wish it weren't that way, because the perversion of language is why we're in such trouble today. And I'll explain a little bit more about that later. Anyhow, I wanted to share with you guys something that happened on Facebook. You know, I have lots of Facebook friends that post goofy stuff, and this is no exception to the goofy stuff. This is a woman. I'm not going to use her name. She posted a meme that she's intending to vote for Kanye. Now, this is a person that's normally, you could say, that is on our side, a patriot. And this is my comment to a woman who posted her intent to vote for Kanye. Also, to the morons supporting her vacuous decision. Okay, my response was, we were given a republic by our founders. Some folks commenting on this thread apparently are not aware of this, nor are they aware of the president's techniques. He uses the enemy's tactics against them. He does that over and over. The vaccine is no different. Now, just to explain, one of the reasons she's decided to vote for Kanye instead of Trump is because Trump keeps pushing the vaccine. He's going to come up with a bigger, faster, better vaccine. Anyhow, my comment to that is heading the evil Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci off at the pass with a harmless, probably placebo vaccine to undo the COVID hype voodoo. Maybe a bit Machiavellian, but it is genius. Besides, the majority of us have been brainwashed and scared into submission by the COVID-19 nonsense. How else would you propose to deal with that disaster? You know, in other words, that stuff's already there. People are convinced that, you know, if they go outside without their masks, they're going to die from COVID. So how else would you deal with it other than coming up with a fake vaccine to give people confidence that this thing isn't going to kill them after they've inflated all the numbers? Mr. Trump gave up his cushy life and has put his entire family at risk to fight for you people who can't even think through the first level of strategy to take back this republic. Millions of patriots have laid down their lives to protect your right to vote. It's up to you if you want to piss on their legacy and throw your vote away by voting for Kanye. But spare us the effing sanctimony about the lesser of two evils. All of our lives are in danger. Get a grip. It's go time. So I guess I was a little testy on that reply. But people definitely are getting under my skin with the stupidity. The lack of reference for anything that actually matters. Voting for Kanye. Really? Give me an ever-loving break. Moving on to early voting and why vote by mail is wrong. Well, we already have 40 to 50 articles, multiple tens of thousands of votes with the name Trump on them found in ditches and various other places, because the Democrats can't win a fair election. This is obvious. So, thus, they pushed the hell out of this vote-by-mail crap. Okay, if I were king, or at least able to cause a constitutional amendment for federal elections, it would go something like this. Election day would be election day. There would be 24 hours to vote, starting at midnight and ending at midnight. Election day means election day, 24 hours to vote. It would be a national paid holiday funded by the taxpayers. So wherever you worked, you would get that day off paid, guaranteed. So there's no excuse that I had to go to work and I couldn't vote. BS. There would be universal paper ballots and photo ID required to vote. Voter rolls would be purged every voting cycle. Registration, new registration required for every voting cycle in any federal election. Now, you states that want to corrupt your own elections that are state offices, who cares? That, you know, 10th Amendment says you can do whatever you want. But in my view, a federal election ought to be standardized to this, not standardized, centralized, but standardized. There's a big difference between centralization and standardization, okay? So we standardize elections, election day only, 24 hours to vote. And the only way you vote a paper ballot, if you're serving the United States military and you can't possibly make to a polling place. Oh, JD, what if I want to go on vacation? I tell you what, voting's important enough. You plan your vacation around election day if you're a patriot. I'm tired of this nonsense, you guys. And we ought to push for this. We ought to get the Senate. We ought to get the House and keep the presidency and... We ought to push for a constitutional amendment to standardize federal elections. This crap that's going on now is going to cause a civil war because these assholes on the left can't win an election free and fair. You know it and I know it. And I don't know why we're putting up with it, but it sure as hell is getting under my skin in case you couldn't tell. All right, so now we have to move on to the absolute bombshells being dropped by the paper founded by Alexander Hamilton, the New York Post, which Howard Kurtz on his show today, Freudian slip, and called it a tabloid. Howard Kurtz, your favorite New York a-hole that's been around forever, like mold and scum everywhere else, that everybody thinks is fair, called the New York Post a tabloid. He only did it once, and he corrected himself later by calling it a newspaper. But it goes to show you just where his mind's at. Not just Kurtz. I don't mean just to pick on Kurtz. But you know what? Everybody thinks he's kind of a fair guy, and he always tries to get the other side in there. But you know where he's really thinking if he's going to call the New York Post a tabloid. So there, you know... These are some of the things that really get to me, okay? The New York Post, as if you don't know by now, I guess you're living in a lead cave somewhere, dropped a story that Hunter Biden's laptop was recovered at a Delaware repair shop. And reportedly, the FBI has had it since December of 2019 and sat on this through the impeachment of a president when it was absolute BS what the president was being impeached for. And this laptop is not only, well, it's not directly exculpatory of the president, but it sure implicates the Bidens as the... criminal parties in things. Now, everybody says this is yet to be verified. Well, and it's October surprise time. I get all that. But let's see who the real deal is. Giuliani has seen all of the stuff on these multiple laptops. There are now three laptops in question. So Mr. Giuliani has said that he can't repeat or even tell you on the air what he saw on those laptops. And there are reports, there are very, very egregious acts, not just sexual proclivities or any kind of stuff. We're talking about stuff related to pedophilia. There are reports of this. Now, the reason, there are also reports that the reason the laptop even came to the FBI was an investigation on child trafficking and pedophilia and these kinds of things. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what Giuliani can't mention on the air, okay? So, you know, I don't know if these things are true, untrue. But what we're going to do before I bring our great guest on, Mr. James Copeland, we're going to go to a video, a report from John Bound, who kind of goes over these details. Then we're going to get Mr. Copeland's comments on these things. So, without further ado, let us go to the video here. All right, here we go. If I can figure out which button to push.
Most of us listening to this report have been aware of Joe Biden's blatant involvement with his son Hunter's influence peddling to foreign countries for dollars long before the election.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
And so how do you know?
Here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He is violating every basic norm of a president.
And Mr. Biden, what is your response to the New York Post story about your son, sir?
I know you'd ask it. I have no response. It's another smear campaign. Right up your alley. They're the questions you always ask.
But here we are, roughly a fortnight away from Election Day. Record numbers are turning out for early voting.
Historic, record-breaking, never before seen.
Texans are hitting the polls in record numbers to cast a ballot.
We actually also found out that people have been canceling their absentee ballots to show up to vote in person because they don't trust the mail-in process here in Georgia.
And the Silicon Valley overlords, thumbing their nose at a neutered Senate Judiciary Committee, brazenly censor incriminating evidence published by the New York Post, founded by Alexander Hamilton, of all people, in a bid to favor the corrupt Democrats' lunge toward power.
The laptop in question is real. It belonged to Hunter Biden. So there's no excuse for not asking about it. None. But they didn't ask about it. It was a cover-up in real time.
A text message that I saw you talk about this morning that you say is from Hunter Biden to his daughter, Naomi. Don't worry. Unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half your salary. You know, at the moment, we have a provisional agreement that the equity will be distributed, and it says 20 will go to H, and it goes through different initials, I suppose. There's one that says H. I would assume that you believe that that means Hunter. At the bottom, it says 10 will be held by H for the big guy. Tell me what this means.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you got to guess who the big guy is? If you need any guessing about who the big guy is, all you have to do is take a look at the arrangement made for the office of this business where the Chinese Communist government was a partner. When the office is opened, Hunter Biden sends a memo, and the first two people he puts down to have keys to the office are Joe Biden and Jill Biden.
Senate Republicans promised us once again that they would put on some excellent political theater to appease the voters.
Senate Judiciary Committee wants to know what the hell is going on. Chairman Lindsey Graham and I have discussed this at length, and the committee today will be noticing a markup on Tuesday to issue a subpoena to Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee next Friday, to come before this committee and the American people and explain why Twitter is abusing their corporate power to silence the press and to cover up allegations of corruption.
This amount of coordination and interference appears to me to be unprecedented. As the chairman of the Subcommittee on Crime and Terrorism, I will invite Facebook and Twitter to a hearing under oath before this body.
But we all know that the American people will be the butt of the joke once again after Attorney General Barr just got done making fools of all of us.
So reports coming in tonight that the unmasking probe commissioned by Attorney General William Barr has come to an end and that it has resulted in no criminal charges. Barr had appointed a federal prosecutor to review whether Obama-era officials improperly requested the identities of people whose names were redacted in the intelligence documents, but the prosecutor found no substantive wrongdoing.
The FBI's non-existent oversight of the never-ending cover-ups in political warfare has become par for the course, and very few people can be surprised at this point that the FBI had the Hunter Biden crack tapes since the end of 2019 and did as they always do for their DC masters. They hid them. In fact, it appears that an FBI agent assigned to child porn signed off on the investigation of Hunter's laptop, as the Business Insider reported. The available evidence seems to show that Joshua Wilson, who signed the subpoena for Hunter Biden's laptop, and the Joshua Wilson who investigates child pornography for the FBI are the same person. This raises the possibility, not explored by the Post, that the FBI issued the subpoena for reasons unrelated to Hunter Biden's role in Ukraine and Burisma. It all boils down to our independence as American citizens. Will we reclaim what has been pulled out from under us once and for all? Or will we be slowly devoured by foreign interests, political charlatans, and power-mad criminals openly working towards our destruction? John Bound reporting.
So there you have it, you guys. I don't know what to say. The reports definitely raise more questions than they answer. Let's just put it that way. But I want to bring on now with you a great friend of the program and a very knowledgeable man who wishes to comment on such things. And without further ado, let's bring on Mr. James Copeland. How you doing, James? Great to see you.
JD, I'm as fine as frog hair.
I know you are. And I didn't know about frog, how fine frog hair was until I met you, sir. So go ahead. Welcome to the show, by the way. And it'll be great to get your commentary on anything that you would like to comment on that has been brought forth thus far on the program. James Copeland, everybody.
Trump is losing the election, but it's not too late. As you say, there are 15 days left, but this is the story. A good friend of ours, Roger Ailes, once wrote a book called You Are the Message. And that is what Donald Trump has to do in these last 15 days. He is the message, and he's got to change his message. One of the things that Roger Ailes wrote about in his book, he said that television changed all the rules. And that's certainly true of political discourse, because what has happened is most people get their news from media, largely from television, sometimes from the internet. And nowadays, that's in snippets, it's in sound bites. And Trump has a lot of rallies, and he also has an up and coming debate, and he's not making the best use of either venues. Let me illustrate this. The Thursday debate will have 75 plus million people tuning in, at least for a while. He's got to win over some of the undecideds and some of the weak Democrats to be convinced to switch to Trump in some of the battleground states that are in danger, like North Carolina and Pennsylvania. Now, Trump will not win this election unless he can do this in the upcoming debate. Number one, abide by the rules. Americans are opposed to unfairness, offside in football, fouls in basketball, sign stealing in baseball. Americans want people who in debates to stay within the time limits and not interrupt opponents, like the first debate, which thrilled the base but turned off a lot of independents and weak Democrats. Second, I recommend that he change the issues in this last debate to two that are not currently being used. First of all, the first issue I want to bring up is that Donald Trump loves America and proves he loves America every day. He puts America first every day. He makes America great every day. Joe Biden's rule over 47 years has been rule number one, is to please the Biden family. I give three examples quickly. First, in the late 1960s, Brown versus the Board of Education tried to integrate all of the schools. Joe Biden and his friends did not want the schools in Delaware integrated. And he worked with Southern congressmen to make sure they weren't for several years. In other words, the Bidens were put before federal law. A more egregious thing happened, secondly. In the 80s and 90s, his brother's business was in trouble. Joe Biden went and got a plush federal contract for that brother to build houses in Iraq. Millions were paid of taxpayer dollars. Did the company know anything about building houses? No. Did it know anything about the Middle East? No. You would expect if you were building in the houses in the Middle East, your houses would have to deal with electricity and plumbing. You had to know about the topography. You had to know about the water supply. You had to know about the electric grid. You had to know a lot of things, plus building the house itself out of wood or stone or stucco or whatever they want to use. The Biden family came first, not the American taxpayer. And now, my third example is what you cited at the beginning of the program. This is a tragedy. This is almost an American tragedy. Joe Biden favored his older son, Beau. He loved Beau dearly. He had a career mapped out for Beau. Beau served as attorney general in Delaware. Then he was going to run for governor, but he chose to go to Iraq because he was a patriot. And later he died of brain cancer before he could run for governor and then take over Joe's Senate seat. I believe, being a psychologist in the area of politics, that Joe Biden, after the death of Beau, realized that his younger son, Hunter, was severely troubled with drugs, alcohol, and many other problems, largely because as a child, Beau was the favorite boy. So Joe wanted to do something good for Hunter, I surmise, and he got involved in some of Hunter's business affairs. And by being involved, I mean trips on Air Force Two into foreign countries where Hunter Biden wanted to make contacts to do business with wealthy oligarchs and the Communist Chinese Party's financial arm. I won't go into all of the details because you've cited the major one. Hunter made a proposal to the Chinese that he could offer introductions, which indeed he did. He had a group of Chinese autocrats that ran the finances of China come and get a White House meeting. He also introduced his father to members of the Chinese Communist Party that were in high office. These contacts, of course, violate federal law. In fact, they violate the Logan Act, which Biden tried to get Trump impeached upon in that Obama meeting. Why the Logan Act? Because at the time, I guess when much of this went on, Biden may have been a private citizen, although at other times he was a sitting vice president. Everybody knows who the big guy is. We've seen the pictures of Biden with the Chinese. We have had the information from a prosecutor in Ukraine about Biden and Burisma. And we've had the information through the Washington Post and the emails that Hunter Biden got money from the wife of the mayor of Moscow for political favors. Now, the Biden campaign has denied none of this. Now, the fool Adam Schiff went on television and said, well, this is all a Russian hoax. Now, where have we heard that before? The Biden campaign's answer is Joe Biden never profited a dime. He never took a dime. I agree, but he still has the equity. When you buy a stock or a bond, you don't make a profit till it is sold. Hunter Biden has all of this stock in these companies that he's formed with the Chinese and different partners, and that it was based on Chinese money, and those holdings still can accrue to Joe Biden, the big guy, when they're cashed out. So anyway, that's my first argument, and I'm going to stop here. This is the first argument I think that Trump has got to stress, that Joe Biden is unfit to hold the office of president of the United States because he doesn't put America first.
Well, it's certainly a good argument, James. And I got to say, there are many arguments why Joe Biden should not be the candidate of the United States. I don't even believe he's qualified. Now, not the least of which, with the, if even a small part of the evidence brought forth by the laptop is true, Joe Biden is ineligible on other grounds, such as he is a compromised national security risk. Every country that he dealt with as VP and his son has dealt with, and all these nefarious deals that have come to light, would they have Biden in their back pocket because they have all the photographs that can go public? That's why we need to, you know, get them out now so people have a chance to know this before they vote. And this is another reason why I'm absolutely against early voting, because this stuff's coming out 2 weeks before the election. There's already 23 million people voted in this country, James, and many of them have voted for Biden before this came to light that may not have voted for Biden. So we got to stop this nonsense of early voting and go with, you know, election day means election day, not election 3 months. What say you?
I agree. And it's very, very important that we win the presidency and the Senate, because somebody's got to investigate the FBI, who apparently has been sitting on this for quite some time.
And the CIA.
That is correct. And of course, they're going to say, oh, we didn't want to interrupt the election. Well, my God, if someone is acting not like a patriot, but like a foreign agent, why don't you want to interrupt the election? You've got to.
Yeah, it's your duty to stop somebody that's committing treason, for God's sake, for becoming president, potentially. What the hell has happened to our country? I'll tell you what's happened. It's called corruption, and it's been rotten to the core for many more decades than people want to admit. That's what's going on here.
I'd like to present my second point, and I think this is even a stronger argument that Trump is not making and has got to be made in his rallies. I mean, these rallies are good. They gin up the base and everything, but they're used as clips on local newses in battleground states. And you've got to have some meat. And I'm going to put the meat on the table and see if it's too meaty for you, JD. My second point is that Joe Biden is physically going to cause the election or the accession to the presidency of Kamala Harris. Now, you may not believe me, but in the early 1980s, Joe Biden had two serious brain operations for aneurysm.
He told everybody that himself.
All right, what do you suppose effect had that on his long-term health?
Well, can't improve it.
That is true. And now, at his age, if he is elected by the American people, on the January 20th date that he takes the oath of office, he will be the same age as Ronald Reagan as the day of the age Reagan left office. Now, during Reagan's term, people really worried about him being too old. And as it turned out later on, he did have Alzheimer's, not while he was president. So what I'm saying is, Kamala Harris, this is the question that Trump has to ask his rallies and ask in the debate. Do the American people want Kamala Harris to be president? Now, I want to say two things at the beginning quickly. This is not a racist comment. There are many fine women of color that could be president. I'm not going to name them. It is not a sexist comment. there are many fine women office holders in the nation who would make a fine president. I'm talking only about Kamala Harris not having the support of the American people.
She doesn't even have the support of the Democrats, James.
That's
right. She came in last in the primary, for Christ's sake.
She never got to the primaries. She was running at 1% and 2% in the polls.
Exactly.
And she got out
right.
of the race after a couple of the Iowa straw poll and that. She got out of the race.
She was dead last.
Her own party didn't want her to be president. Now, if her own party didn't accept her, why would an independent or a Republican accept her? Now, let's talk about why they don't accept her. The same reason most Americans don't accept Bernie Sanders. She is a leftist radical socialist, backs BLM, backs Antifa, backs open borders, backs free college, backs forgiveness of student debt, She backs higher taxes. She backs welfare for illegal aliens, and on and on and on and on. Her agenda, which is part of the Bernie agenda that Joe Biden signed, I don't even think under protest with Bernie, is on the Democratic Party website, and it's on Bernie's website. I don't know whether Biden left it up on his website. But there are all of these things that the American people, who usually ignore the vice presidency, J.D., can't ignore it this time. I mean, there was a hailstorm when Dan Quayle ran for vice president. And Lloyd Benson made a joke about him in a debate that's part of political history. But this woman is dangerous.
Well, especially when you consider the point that you made about this vice presidency being of utmost importance. You have an elderly, doddering old fool, criminal, Joe Biden, who is obviously at very low cognitive capacity, even for his low standards. Joe has never been a brain trust at his sharpest, okay? Let's just put it that way. And now we see him yesterday claiming that he's proud to run as the Democratic senatorial candidate. Once again, that's twice on his campaign he's mentioned that. These things are obvious to the layman, let alone the physician, that this man is not fully cognitively functional. Okay, so given that, his age and his health problems that he has gone through, a vote for Joe Biden for president is actually a vote for Kamala Harris for president. That is the reality of it. And President Trump is right to point out that when Nancy Pelosi raised the exercise of the 25th Amendment, it wasn't really to get rid of Donald Trump. It was in preparation to get rid of Joe Biden once he gets elected. And I got to say, you Democrats that are still in love with your party there, you weren't in love with Kamala Harris, but if you vote for Biden, you're voting for Harris. And even you must realize that that is not a good thing for anyone in this country. I don't see how they're getting away with it, except that they own the media and the legacy media. They don't own the independent media, such as this radio program and a radio program. See there, James, you know I'm a radio guy, man. So this program and other programs and people that have their own platforms, that is the only thing that's going to save America from this tragedy, James.
In the Democratic primaries, especially after his comments about Russia and Cuba, fewer and fewer Democrats were voting for Bernie. But if you vote for Biden in this election for president, you're voting for Bernie. Because look at the Democratic Party and look at the Democratic platform. Now, Biden gets up and says in the last debate, I'm the Democratic Party. I'm not for the New Deal. I'm not for the Green New Deal. I'm for the Biden New Deal. Well, maybe he is, and maybe he will govern as a moderate. But for how many months? you know, the princess is in waiting. She's ready to be crowned. There's already talk of a Harris-Biden administration with Joe Biden as president, kind of a co-presidency. When Gerald Ford suggested that to Ronald Reagan in 1980, Ronald Reagan kicked him off the ticket and took George W. Bush.
Isn't that amazing? Yes, that's a very good piece of history that many probably don't know about, James. And you know, I don't disagree with anything you had to say, except for the fact that you believe that President Trump is losing the election. I wouldn't say that he's losing the election. I would say that if he came out with both barrels blazing on the facts, that he could possibly make this a landslide. And he may not even have to do it, because what's brewing right now, and there's much more going to come out about this laptop. There's actually three laptops. I don't know if you're aware of that. But these things are going to come out, and the old song that we've heard from the Democrats all along, it's Russian election interference.
But I disagree.
Well, let me finish my point.
It's not going to come out.
It is going to come out.
The media is sitting on it. The major media is sitting on it. It's only going to come out if Trump brings it out in the debate continually.
Which will happen. But now here's
another
thing.
And in his rallies.
Here's another thing that's going to happen, James. First of all, you have heard that Joe Biden has put the lid on his campaign until the debate. So we're not going to hear Joe Biden publicly comment on any of these things. He's going to completely ignore any of the questions between now and the debate. That is the word from the Biden campaign at this point. So as egregious as that is, it does give Donald Trump the ability to go out there and say whatever he wants without retort from Biden himself. Which
if
I don't
Trump
know if that's
the right
bad.
Things, he will win. But right now, he's not concentrating on saying the right things. He speaks for an hour at these rallies and thrills the rallies, but he has a number of topics. What he has got to do is hit the two things. Well, there's three things. He does do a great job defending his economy, and he's the man to rebuild the economy. And he defends his COVID position pretty well. He shut off the borders from the planes. He had warp speed. He had the Pence leading the force that did the business with the private sector to get all the ventilators and the gowns and the masks and so on. He's doing that well. But he's got to show the American people that they cannot elect a non-patriot, a Joe Biden who puts the family first. And he cannot elect a radical who was not even in a primary in her own party because she didn't rate high enough in the polls, so she abandoned her campaign.
Well, I don't disagree, but I have to say, you and I had some of these similar arguments with different circumstances 4 years ago on the air. And it came to, yes, I know there's a lot of water under the bridge and we're comparing apples and oranges, but nonetheless, Donald Trump tried his hand at politics one presidential cycle ago, and his first office he ever tried to attain was president of the United States, which he won fair and square. And I think that now that we have a four-year record of what he said, of him carrying out his own promises. Not only did he retain the base, he's added to the base. So his base is much bigger. So even if he gets no one but his base in this election, he still has the absolute majority, the majority of voters are going to vote for Donald Trump. Now,
I sat in your studio 4 years ago and told you Donald Trump would win if he won Pennsylvania. And I'm sitting in your studio right now saying Donald Trump will win if he makes the right arguments and carries Pennsylvania and North Carolina.
North Carolina would be nice. I'd like to see him get past Georgia. That wasn't in question back then. It is now. Arizona's in question. It wasn't in question back then. It is now.
I think Tommy Tuberville will carry him over the line in Georgia.
Well, I hope you're right on that. But these are things that we have to realize. This is not a gimme.
Those He's also have... in play in Minnesota, Nevada, and New Hampshire.
Which wasn't before. So, that's yeah, correct. That, so that's true. But we can't take any state for granted just because he won it last election. People listening to us and anyone who wants to listen, we need diligence on everyone's part. Everybody needs to get out there and vote. Now, I believe the media is spinning this early voting enthusiasm to their side. They're saying it's because everybody wants to prevent Trump from getting reelected. And I have a gut feeling. I don't have any evidence to base it on, but I'm thinking, and while there is one piece of evidence I'm going to base this statement on, and that is what has happened to the Republican registration voting rolls this cycle is absolutely phenomenal in most states. So I'm saying the early voting is because of enthusiasm for Trump, not for the stop Trump vote. What's your comment on that?
That may be well said. I think a lot of the early voting is, I voted early, all right? At 81, I'm in my little house on house arrest because of the COVID virus. And the ballot came in the mail, and I voted for Trump and sent it in. And that may be it. But the difficulty is with these states, I don't know how many of them are doing ballot harvesting, where a lot of people go into housing projects and help in quotes, people fill out the ballots and then collect the ballots. And those states allow those ballots to be put in boxes someplace near a supermarket. You know, I'm very unfamiliar with the election laws. And being an old man, I favor going to the polls. The only reason I didn't do it this year is because of the pandemic. And you were right in your initial rant that people, we should have a national holiday 24 hours like they do in Sweden or one of the other Scandinavian countries. Have the election 24 hours. You have to go in person. You have to have voter ID. And that will clean up our elections very well.
Yes. And, you know, I don't think that the Republicans could lose an election after all that's happened to us in this last couple of cycles. And I mean 2-year cycles. I don't think the Republicans could lose if that's the way we conducted our elections here in the states. And this is exactly why it'll never happen, because not only are the Democrats living on fraud in order to stay in office, but a lot of the Republicans don't want to be the party in power, James, because the Republicans are there to say, oh, here I am, the loyal opposition, knowing full well the Democrats will stop any of the Republican agenda because they have the majority. So the Republicans sit back and say, see, I'm a conservative. I object to the Democrats, knowing full well they don't have to be held accountable. How do I know that? Because every time we give them power, they fold like a cheap suit. And we kicked their ass out back again. Like, you know, we had, I'm sure you recall this, we had unified government for the first 2 years of the, I put air quotes on the unified government, by the way. The unified government for the first 2 years of the Trump administration couldn't get anything done. Why? Because we had a bunch of damn never-Trumpers in charge of the Republican Party.
And we have at least one senator that now has joined the, vocally joined the never-Trumpers, Mr. Sasson, Nebraska.
Oh, don't forget Mitt Romney. Mittens Romney is a never-Trumper as well.
Well, this is an interesting thing about your good friend Mitt. I think Mitt is going to vote for Judge Barrett and announce that publicly, even after Susan Collins and the senator from Alaska said they would not vote for her. Mitt wants to, if Trump loses, be the top man in Republican politics and inherit the Republican Party and make another run by himself.
That very well may be, and that analysis is not one that I've heard anywhere else, but I can tell you that's a very good possibility. But what Mitt Romney doesn't understand, he is absolutely despised by the base of the Republican Party, because the Republican Party isn't what it used to be before Trump.
Well, of course, Romney thinks that all the Never Trumpers will come back.
Well, even if they do, that's only 5% of the Republican Party.
And the other 95% will leave.
Well, we'll start another party or something, or there's gonna, you know, if we allow these criminals to steal this election, which the only way Trump loses is they steal it through the mail-in ballots, in my opinion. I know you disagree with that because you think Trump could blow it with his mouth. You know what? Yeah, maybe. Okay, whatever. Let's give you that. But let's say he says the right things in order to get reelected. The only way he loses, they steal it through this mail-in ballot nonsense, because we've already got 45 articles in newspapers showing multiple tens of thousands of ballots with Trump's name on being found in ditches and everywhere else and not getting counted. This is the whole purpose of the mail-in ballot BS.
JD, you have witnessed another American tragedy. Donald Trump rebuilt America, and then a vaccine invented in a Chinese lab. Now, this has been proven by that virologist, this Chinese woman at Harvard. She's been on Tucker Carlson a couple of times and proved that.
It's a dang bioweapon. She proved it.
Well, I don't know whether it got out or they put it out or whatever. But Donald
Trump said they put it out on purpose. The woman you're talking about claims that they did it on purpose.
Well, I'm not certain about that, because anybody that knows anything about World War I knows that the party that invented gas, lethal gas, thought it was the weapon that would win the war for them, and then the wind changed, and nobody has used lethal gas since.
That's a very good analogy. Now, listen, I'll pull up that video that with her saying what I just said later on in the show if you want me to, but I have to go find the video of her saying that. But she did say that they did it on purpose.
The American tragedy is Donald Trump would have had an election where he would have carried 49 states, losing Massachusetts, of course. He had a wonderful economy. He'd done everything right in his presidency, despite all the distractions about these investigations and impeachments and so on. And this really, you know, Bob Woodward was on television this morning, and he's, of course, crowing about the fact that Trump knew about how dangerous the virus was. But this is the sad thing. Donald Trump didn't yell fire in the crowded theater and have all the stores run out of water and toilet paper and food. On one hand, he set up all of these commissions, working with private industry, working with the pharmaceutical companies, and closing the air traffic into the U.S. On one hand, to fight the virus, but he had to keep the public from going off the rails. I mean, the worst disaster in the history of the American Republic was the Iroquois Theater fire in Chicago, which on Christmas Day killed thousands of people because all the exit doors were locked from the outside, because the theater people felt that people might sneak in to see the famous Canadian comic Eddie Foy. If you had gone on and said, I'm the American president, and we have a disaster worse than Pearl Harbor coming, what would have happened? I mean,
It would have been bad. It might have been worse than what happened.
JD, thank you very much for allowing an old man come and rant on your show. I know you have another guest scheduled.
Actually, I don't think he is made it. So you're good to go for a while. Now, I do want to add to what you said. You mentioned Bob Woodward. So I want to ask you this. Are you familiar with John O'Connor? Do you know who that is?
Yes.
You probably know him. Knowing you, you know an awful lot of people. Well, John O'Connor has been on the radio, or been on the program with his new book, Postgate, bringing new evidence to light about Watergate and the Washington Post and Bob Woodward and what he did and how he betrayed Deep Throat, his source, and all the details therein, which some of this just came to light in the last year. So I'm probably going to have him on the show next week to get his comments on the treachery of our newspapers of record over on the East Coast there, who are supposed to be telling people the truth about such things, but we find out there's been decades of obfuscation and cover-up, and they are on, they were definitely after Richard Nixon's tale, who basically was a victim of Watergate more than anything else, and then all, another case of the cover-up's always worse than the crime, and there was evidence that the CIA was covering their butt and created Watergate and pinned it on Nixon. So, you know, there's a lot of treachery on all sides. We want to have John O'Connor's comments on, and I hope that you can, you know, be around to listen for that program, or maybe even call in if you wish, because we do have a switchboard here. You can call in the show, 480-455-9923. Agree or disagree, give us a call. We'll put you on the air. We can take your call on the air. James Copeland, anything else, sir?
Well, you said the secret word, cover-up. And as you know, from as a presidential historian, Richard Nixon, had he burned the tapes on the White House lawn and invited the Democrats in for a marshmallow roast, probably still would be president today. It wasn't the burglary that did him in, it was the cover-up. He lied to the American people. And another American—
How come Joe Biden gets away with that shit?
Well, I'm coming
Pardon
to
my
that.
Language.
I'm coming to that. Another right. American president, he lied too. He went to the American people and said, I did not have sex with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. And then after he had to go to the grand jury and tell the truth or go to the Steele Hotel, he had to go back on television and confess his sins. And he owed it to Hillary and everything, and to be a good husband and a good man and so on. And the Democrats let him off. The Republicans impeached him in the House, and some Democrats voted for that. And then the Democrats took the idea that if we impeach Clinton, we're overthrowing the voters' choice of their president earlier. Well, yes, that's what an impeachment did. When the president violates the law by having sex in the White House with an intern, which violates the Federal Register and a number of other federal laws, and then tries to cover it up, he's guilty of a felony. He's guilty of a high crime and should be impeached. So anyway...
You know what? Let's go down that rabbit hole just for a second as we're going down memory lane here. You know, the things that were going on in the Clinton administration, the shenanigans in the Oval Office, the sexcapades there in the Oval Office might have been titillating and good, you know, good profit for the media and all that kind of stuff. But the stuff that he should have been impeached for was Charlie Tree and the campaign contributions from abroad flowing into the Clinton administration. I mean, there's plenty of evidence about that, not to mention, you know, Whitewater, not to mention the guy who shot himself in the back of the head twice, committing suicide in Fort Marcy Park, and the other 48 dead people that met an untimely demise that were such loosely associated with the Clintons in one way or the other. Why wouldn't any of that looked into? You know, but yet no, we have to know about Monica Lewinsky and all that kind of stuff, and coin a new verb for our kids to know what it means. You know, it's just disgusting. And I was so grateful when I didn't care for George W. Bush, but I was so grateful when he actually came to power, because he had a good deal more, couth than Bill Clinton did. So I was relieved in that regard. Little did I know he was the right-wing globalist at the time. But anyway, we'll go down that rabbit hole another day, James. But yeah, you know, I don't know why the American, you know, here's some good news. I believe the American people are waking up to the extreme bias of the legacy media on the left to a certain degree. And the only question remains is, is there enough time yet before this election for people to realize that? And with early voting, that makes it even more challenging. Final words from you, James. We have only a couple of minutes left.
We had the Mueller investigation because people like Adam Schiff said, our democracy, note the word, our democracy is at risk. We cannot have our democracy at risk.
No, note the middle part of that word is mock, okay?
Okay. At any rate, the point I would like to make here is that if this election goes against Trump, I don't think it was the Russians or the Chinese or even the Democrats that tilted it. It was Facebook. Facebook is what now dominates our lives, like the three networks did when I was growing up and watching television. The three networks, these people and the way they shaped the news had enormous power. People like Walter Cronkite, Huntley and Brinkley, Harry Reasoner. The only newsman I really respect right now is Britt Hume. Most of the rest of these people are ex-sports casters and weather bunnies. But I believe that Facebook, in its choice of what it prints and lets the American people see, I heard on television today that 46% of the people admit that they get their news from Facebook. Well, you know how many wouldn't admit it? Add that to that total.
You know, that's a very good point indeed, and I want to add to that.
So, JD, I just want to tell you that I'm pretty plain spoken and blunt, and I may be bitter butter, but I'm on your side of the bread.
Yes, sir, and that's why we love you, because we want your opinion, unencumbered opinion on the program. Now, I want to add to what you just said about Facebook. You have to add Twitter, and you have to add Google to that, because Mr. Epstein, the professor, testified in Congress that Google at that time was capable of swaying an election 7% just by virtue of how they alter their algorithm when you search for something regarding politics. So you have the trifecta, the quinella. You have the Google, the Twitter, and the Facebook that are influencing our elections in today's world, not unlike what you mentioned, the big three, BS, CBS, NBS, and ABS from back in the day. And, you know, I appreciate that very much. And I just wanted to add to that, that it's not Facebook alone that's the problem. And this business about the 230 that they're going to pull from these guys ain't going to fix it either. What they have to do is they have to break these companies up, just like Roosevelt came in and busted the trust and Standard Oil and all that kind of stuff. Because when a company gets so powerful that it's more powerful than the government itself, that's a big problem for you and I, the American people, who are supposed to be the ones that have the seat of power by virtue of our elections. And our politicians are ran by these big media things now and not the other way around. So that balance of power has to be corrected. Thanks once again, James, for being our guest here on Article 5 Live. We look forward to working with you in the future. And you take care of yourself. And may God be with you, my friend. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you, JD.
All right, you guys. Mr. James Copeland, everybody. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with your comments and calls here on Article 5 Live. See you later, James. All right. All right, I don't have anything up for break, but let's see if I can get you something here to go on while I take a little break here. I'm going to go with this one. I don't even know what this one is. Check it out. Oh, I didn't vet this one out yet. It is
InfoWars news today.
We're not afraid to play InfoWars on this program.
If Biden wins, China will own the United States, and I turned it all around, and you know that better than anybody. In 2019, if you go back,
I'll be right
10
back,
years,
guys.
Everybody projected 2019 the economy of China was going to be bigger than the U.S. except it didn't happen because I got elected and I turned it the opposite way. We were picking up much more than them. And then I did the no dumping steel and I did tariffs and I did everything on them. No, no, they want Sleepy Joe to win. And if he does, if Sleepy Joe wins, China will own the United States.
And when you look at these photographs that are disgusting and horrible, the Chinese have every single one of them. Chinese have every single one of them, probably 10 times more. Because what the Chinese government has been doing, and a country was totally undefended against this, is setting Biden up, putting him in a position where he's totally compromised. They've now given him so much money, he's totally compromised. They now have pictures of his son doing things that I can't describe, some of which are illegal.
It's Saturday, October 17th. The year is 2020. We are now 2 weeks out from the election. And the information I'm about to cover here is bigger than anything we covered in the run-up to the 2016 election, and that was epic. Ladies and gentlemen, we have total proof from over 10 sources, triangulated, proving that not just Hunter Biden, not just Joe Biden, not just Joe Biden's brothers, not just Nancy Pelosi, not just Hillary Clinton, not just Barack Obama, but the entire leadership, including Dianne Feinstein, are openly working with communist China against the United States and have willingly put themselves in positions where they could be blackmailed and controlled. You just heard what the president said a few days ago, and he's been saying that in every major speech, that if he loses, communist China takes control of the United States. They've already got our debt, they already own Hollywood, and they've compromised leaders who, to get access to the Chinese market, go and become compromised like a gang initiation or a satanic initiation. That's why cults do evil things and have evil initiations, is to make sure you'll follow their orders. So I am cutting in over all of the major feeds of my rebroadcast, David Knight's rebroadcast, Owen Schroeder's rebroadcast, that are very popular on the satellite for radio and TV, and the streams at man.video and infowars.com/show. And we're on Saturday afternoon shooting this 30-minute transmission that I'm going to then loop until I go live at 4 p.m. tomorrow with a regular Sunday show. But I am asking you from the bottom of my heart and from just a place of total common sense and mutual parallel tracks that we all are in grave danger, that you research this information for yourself and that you take action with this information, because this is about mutual self-preservation. Now, let me first explain something before I get to this that ties into it and sets the stage. The FBI director, Ray, over 6 months ago received the laptop that Giuliani has. And he received the information that's confirmed that shows thousands of photos of what appear to be underage girls. And these are videos with Hunter Biden in them in China, clearly being compromised with what appear to be prepubescent girls, to the point the New York Post was supposed to release these on Friday and said they're child porn. We've been told we can't. Now, the media spun that, oh, Hunter has an underage obsession. No, this isn't like barely 18 or something, okay? This is Hunter having sex with what appears to be underage girls to be compromised before he and his father got billions of dollars from communist China by the Communist Party China to make sure that they were under their control. So this is a Jeffrey Epstein operation to the next level. Epstein was doing it for British intelligence, corrupt elements of the Democratic Party, and Mossad. Well, this is the Chinese operation, and so that's why this is so big. And we have the documents. We have the New York Post. We have other journalists that have seen the documents. We have my sources. And we have Americans and others that speak Chinese who are dissidents who've watched the video of a well-known Chinese dissident in America who was inside the Communist Party China, who we're about to play clips of in a moment, who said on record back in September, 3+ weeks ago, that this laptop of Hunter was there and that this laptop was coming out and what was on it. And now we've confirmed what he's saying is on it. Now, let's explain. This is not just an adult man having sex with what looks like 10-year-old girls from people we've talked to that have seen it. They look really young. He's beating and torturing them and beating the living hell out of them, and they're begging in the video. And the national media that did pick up some of this said, oh, it shows some footage of what may look like underage girls that he had on his computer. Not it's Hunter with the girls. That's confirmed. That's number one. Number two, in the actual Chinese translation, and I called around to a bunch of folks I know to confirm my sources in D.C. and New York, and they watched the video, including Mike Adams' wife, who's from Taiwan, and speaks fluent Chinese. And indeed, when translated, the man that's seen the video that predicted before it broke, 2.5 weeks before it broke, what was on it that's been confirmed, it's not just that he's saying extreme pedo. He's saying extreme torture, extreme abuse that you wouldn't do to an animal is what Hunter is doing to these little girls. And this fits into the whole MO of these people, their selfishness, their corruption. And, oh, you want me to shoot films with underage girls? I'll break their jaws.
Put it in the comments if you want me to keep this playing, you guys.
I'll hit them. I'll do things I can't mention here. I'll shove, you know, huge things that damage their bodies into them. This is serious torture porn. And remember, the FBI deep state had this 6+ months, almost 7 months ago, and all of that's confirmed. So this dwarfs what's even on Anthony Weiner's laptop. It dwarfs what we see in the spirit cooking emails from 4 years ago. That's why this is so ultra massive. So let's go ahead and start going through the article. Go watch the full video at Infowars.com. Kit Daniels.
All right, you guys, hang on.
Chi-Com dissident predicts Hunter Biden laptop leak in September 24th video, basically 3 weeks ago. And then he let.
All right. We're back. And I thought you might find that stuff a little bit interesting. I apologize for, you know, throwing that at you. But you know what? At some point in time, we have to come to the fact that Alex is the only one that's willing to go public with this stuff. Fox News is not going to do it. You're certainly not going to hear anything like this from CNN or MSNBC or any of the legacy media is not going to go anywhere near this. The FBI is compromised from the top down. The CIA is compromised from the top down. Now, I'm not saying there isn't good CIA, and I'm not saying there isn't good FBI. But no one knows where that line is because, you know, the FBI having that laptop, the reason they had the laptop, because they were investigating the sex slavery and the things. That's presumably why they had the laptop in the first place. And the only excuse they have for not, you know, releasing that, considering the fact we're impeaching our president and these scoundrels were in the business of doing deals on the side and being compromised by this activity so that the presumably the Chinese communists and whoever else would have this over our future president's head. You know, this stuff is huge. That's Facebook has got me clamped down to where I can't boost my post. I can't copy into groups. I had a blockbuster show last week with Joy Villa on. I couldn't share it in my groups. I have over 100 groups I'm a member of. They wouldn't let me share it. I can't buy ads for the show to distribute this show out. They have such a tight clamp on anybody that's willing to come out with any of this information unless you have, you know, a big operation like InfoWars. That's why I bring you band.video. So you'll realize that Alex and the crew over there has gotten a bad rap by the mainstream media that we're all used to listening to. So I want you to realize that, number one. Number two, I want you to realize that Trump does not have this in the bag because of the various different unfair practices of media, big tech, and mail-in voting. So unless we show up in a 90% capacity, we're not gonna be able to get another term of Donald Trump as president, and therefore all of these things that we see happening that make us sick to our stomachs, those are the people that are going to have the levers of power. We have to get everyone we know to get out there and vote Republican straight down the line. I don't care if you're a Democrat. Are you happy with your Democrat candidate? The answer is no, you're not, because here you have a de facto presidential candidate in Kamala Harris, who was summarily rejected by your own party, as James Copeland just pointed out. She didn't even make the primary. She was out before the primary started. She had to drop out because no one wanted her as president, even in her own party. Yet, if you're going to vote for Kamala Harris, that's who you're voting for president. Surely that's not who you want, because Joe Biden isn't going to last 3 months. We already know what they're going to do with him. If Joe Biden gets elected, he'll be swiftly taken out of office with the 25th Amendment. There is no question about that. Not to mention, we have to retain the Senate. Here's another thing that's going to get some of my Arizona Patriots mad at me. We have to vote for Martha McSally. We cannot allow Mark Kelly to take our last Republican Senate seat. Martha McSally is a rhino. Martha McSally is a war hero, and she's a rhino. And she only begrudgingly supports President Trump because she knows it would be political death if she didn't. She is a lousy candidate. She's not a good spokesperson as a senator. She's not a good ambassador of the state of Arizona. She should have stayed in her congressional seat instead of giving that to the Democrats to run and fail at running for the United States Senate in the last cycle. This is all we know. We know all this already. But this is a case where we must send a Republican to the United States Senate from the state of Arizona. And the only one available on the ticket happens to be Martha McSally. So if you waste your vote with writing in Daniel McCarthy or, you know, some libertarian or some other kind of crap, you're really doing the country a disservice by doing that. Now, this isn't just your average case of holding your nose and voting for a crappy candidate that is Martha McSally. This is, if you're a patriot that supports Donald Trump, if they take the Senate and get the presidency and retain the House, anybody that supported Trump's going to the gulag. That's what's going to happen in this country. That's how far gone we are. So you don't have a choice not to vote for McSally. Not if you're sane. We have to push this dump truck over the finish line somehow. Going to be real difficult with the mail-in voting crap. And we, not to mention the fact we hired a damn communist that's been held up by George Soros, the Adrian Fontes guy here in Maricopa County, the biggest county in Arizona that accounts for over 3/4 of the votes in the state of Arizona is here in Maricopa County. And we kicked out the old lady, Helen Purcell, who was, county recorder for over 20 years. Nobody ever complained about whether she was fair or not fair. She was caught up in a budgetary decision to cut the budget and pare down primary election stations to 30 before Trump was even a thing. Okay. So they made that decision and put that plan in place. And then Trump became a thing and everybody had to wait 2 to 3 hours to vote for Trump in the primary, we got pissed off and fired Helen Purcell. Well, thank you very much, idiots, here in Arizona, because now we have Adrian Fontes, who cheated in the last election, and now Arizona's blue for the first time in God knows how long. Because we fired Helen Purcell, because we can't take 3 hours out of our life to vote for our candidate. It's a travesty. It's absolutely ridiculous. But that's what happened here in Arizona. So now here's the thing. We have to vote for a dump truck of a Republican candidate. That is Martha McSally. It takes a lot of effort to push a dump truck over the finish line, but that's what we got to do. We cannot afford to send Mark Kelly to the United States Senate. It just can't happen, people. I know you don't want to vote for McSally. We don't have a choice. This is a gun to your head moment. You have to vote for McSally, because if you don't, the commies take over. We all go to jail for supporting our president. That's basically where we are in the United States of America, unless we go to hot civil war. And God knows I don't want to see that. So enough of that. I don't like it, but we have to vote for McSally. I'm going to try to put out on my Facebook page and the Friends of Article 5 group, the list of judges here in Arizona that we need to vote for. I hope you do that in your state. Find somebody who has done the research. What judges should you be voting for in your state? Get that list out to your Republican voters before the election. I did that last cycle. I'm going to try and do it again this cycle and see what we can come up with for you on that. I'll get a hold of Jim O'Connor, who's going to be one of our corporation commissioners here in the great state of Arizona, along with the other two, Leah Marquise Peterson and Eric Sloan. They're going to win their election. We're going to have a Republican Chamber of Commerce, Corporation Commission, so that we can stave off the Steyer money from California that's trying to install the Green New Deal here in the great state of Arizona. I know it's local politics, but we got all this stuff going on. It's critical because it can happen to your state. If it can happen to Arizona, trust me, it can happen to your state. And are you hearing me, Texas? Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. This Biden laptop thing is going to be as big as we make it. We need to hammer the crap out of it everywhere, not forget about any of it. Make sure everyone we know is aware that Hunter Biden, the things that they can't say about him. We already know all the stuff we can say, that he's crooked and he takes money and he is using his father's influence to, you know, extort money or gather money from the, you know, foreign governments and all that kind of stuff. This has been known forever. What's on the laptops is far worse than that, if you can imagine. Giuliani has seen what's on the laptops. He's been all over the place saying, I can't even convey to you on air what's on the laptops. So is that what you want for your president? I don't think so. Yeah, Donald Trump tends to focus on sometimes things that don't help. So what? He's a human being. He's gotten 80% of his promises through in the face of opposition from the media, the Democrats, and most of the Republicans. And yet he's still gotten most of his agenda through that he promised. And that the things that he hadn't got done that he had promised to do, he's still trying to do them. He ain't down for the count yet. Now, no one gets to be president of the United States without the approval of the Almighty. And, you know, unfortunately, that goes for Barack Obama as well. You see, that was a wake-up call. So we woke up. Are we awake this time? Are we going to stay home and let the crooked, evil bastards take what's left of our country back over with? No, we're not. And those of us that are patriots are willing to fight and die for this country. And I know that. So this is a very trying time indeed. There is so much going on. Anybody listening that wants to call into the show, we have time for a telephone call, 480-455-9923. Call the show, put you on the air. Any comments that you want to have, we'd be happy to do it. Next week, I'm trying to get John O'Connor back. He is the author of the new book, Postgate. We had him on the show a few weeks back. He was a phenomenal guest. We did not have enough time to go over all the things that we could have gone over, and now he can add some more of his experience and color to the phenomena of our newspapers covering for the criminals in D.C. and, you know, back east. Not that there's not criminals other places in the back east, trust me, but the focus is, you know, the eastern seaboard, and the criminality comes from there, at least right now. So we have that going on. I want to share with you a couple of things that are happening. I already told you about the Facebook limiting. I'm not even allowed to spread the show on Facebook. YouTube's had a clamp on me for a long time. Twitter, I don't get any views on Twitter anymore either because they shadow banned me on Twitter a long time ago. My followers have keep continually shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking the longer I'm on Twitter. So that's amazing stuff. So we're going to add other venues to the broadcast and try to get the message out that way. So look for that. And I also would like anyone that was listening to go to Podbean and follow my podcast on Podbean. I'd appreciate that very much. Go to the YouTube channel, Article 5 Live, and become a subscriber to that channel. I'd really appreciate you doing that. It helps me get a little traction. Come to the Article 5 Live page on Facebook. Give me a like and follow me and turn on notifications. And also join the group, Friends of Article 5. It might take me a day or so to get you approved for that group. But some of the great news feeds on Facebook come right to that group. Article 5, Friends of Article 5 on Facebook. You can also follow me, J.D. Smalis on Facebook. These are ways you can let me know you're out there, and I'd appreciate it very much. We're going to take the show, I think, to Blog Talk Radio and also Dark Sky Radio in the future here, in the not-too-distant future. That stuff's in the works. There may also be some broadcast radio associated with this program, but I think I'm going to keep this program separate from the radio show, and we will promote the radio show from this program, and we'll promote this program on the radio show, and we'll kind of cross-pollinate that way. I think that's how we're going to do it if we get the opportunity to go back on a terrestrial radio, which I believe we're going to, but it's just a matter of time and logistics, and we'll figure all that stuff out. But anyway, these are the things that are up and coming on Article 5 Live. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed James Copeland, by the way. He always has a perspective that you don't expect. And, you know, having 60 years experience in the world of politics, I think that works for him and against him at the same time. But in spite of all the time he's been around, he does not seem to be stuck in the rut of old school thinking most of the time. So we value James greatly, and we thank him for showing up here on Article 5 Live. It's always great. Now, I can't promise you John O'Connor next Sunday night, but I have been in touch with him, and he has said he wants to come back on the show. So that ought to be very, very interesting indeed to get John O'Connor back on the program. Anybody listening want to call 480-455-9923, go ahead and give us a call. Anybody else want to comment on the comments? Your comments are also welcome. And let's see. Oh, does anybody want me to continue that InfoWars video, I'll do that. But I think we ought to close out the show. And you can always go and find that yourself over on band.video. You know, you can find all the stuff that they're reporting over there. And I got to tell you, they're doing a hell of a job over there. Now, I know a lot of you think Alex Jones is a nut. You know what? Guess what? He thinks he's a nut, too. But that doesn't stop him from telling you the truth about what the hell's going on in this world that nobody else has the balls to tell you about. Besides that, he's the only guy I know that'll go on there and say, you know, I was wrong about this. So some things that Alex says, I take with a grain of salt. But I think he's not wrong about pedophilia and torture and sex slavery and human sacrifice and Satan worship, because that stuff's been going on for many decades, and it's just now finally coming out. You need to know about Ted Gunderson, the former FBI agent that was going to be the head of the FBI, but then he retired because they wouldn't let him go after all these pedophiles files back in the 80s. So he retired, and somehow he ended up dead with a lot of arsenic in him. Isn't that amazing? So look into Ted Gunderson. You can't even find his work on the internet anymore. It's been mostly scrubbed, but people keep putting it up so you can find some of the talks that he was telling people about this stuff decades ago. So now all of it's coming to light. So all you that think that Alex is really nutty and all that stuff, you know, God bless you. You know, bless your heart, as they say in the South. So anyhow, that's probably going to do it for this week, you guys. I want to thank you so much for watching and listening and being there. You know, it's a great privilege to bring you what I can from the perspective we have here on Article 5 Live, the legacy broadcast from the great radio show Article 5 Hour. And so, once again, we'll be back next week. May God continue to bless you, your family, these United States of America, and may continue to protect our great president. I'll be back live on the internet next Sunday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with the best 90 minutes in digital media, Article 5 Live. Until then, this is JD signing off. Be safe, and God bless. Thanks a lot, you guys.